Welcome to the Tuesday noon Bible study here at Cross Culture Church, and we're just so glad to have all of those that are here. We have a faithful group that comes. They come on in, and they're all excited about the things of God, and just ready to step right on in and discuss these things that we have to talk about. And we are excited and really have enjoyed so much of this book of John. And today, I wanted to move a little bit to the left, and then I'll get back to where we are. We're in John 13, and we left off right at, if I'm not mistaken, verse 17, where it says, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them," which is to be transparent, which is to be humble. And diligent, faithful, those things when the Lord washed the apostles' feet. But what I wanted to just back up just a little bit today and tell you all, I didn't discuss a lot of this in the beginning part of John, but in each chapter of John, Jesus has a different representation to us from the Father. In chapter 1, he's the Son of God, and that's illustrated in verses 1 through 14. In chapter 2, he's the Son of Man, the social Christ, which is verses 1 through 10, discusses that part. Chapter 3, he's the divine teacher, and that's verses 22 through 21. Chapter 4, he's the soul winner, and of course, when he was at the well, what happened? The woman at the well, and once he won her over, she went back and won the town over, right? What a powerful time! So he's the soul winner in 4. In chapter 5, he's the great physician. All right. In chapter 6, he's the bread of life. Chapter 7. He's the water of life, and that'll be at verse 37. The bread of life, he is in verses 32 to 58. I'd like to give you the verses so you can go back in there. The divine teacher, 2 through 21 in chapter 3. Okay, chapter 8, the defender of the weak, 3 through 11. Of course, that was the woman that was caught in the very act, and they brought her in and tried to condemn her. Chapter 9, he's the light of the world, verses 1 through 39. Chapter 10, my favorite, the good shepherd. All right, that's verses 1 through 26 out of chapter 10. Chapter 11, he's the prince of life, verses 11 through 14 state that fact. Chapter 12, he's the king. I wasn't here to break that one down with you, but that was when he rode in and they laid the palms down. All right? That's verses 12 through 15. And, of course, we're in chapter 13, and what is that? The humble servant, right? All right? And I got the rest of them for you, but I'll go through them as I wanted to make sure I kind of highlighted. I missed highlighting those as we went through them. And you all who are listening to the sound of my voice, if you want to listen to the rest to get those previous ones, you can go in the archives and they will be available on the podcast. All right. So you can go back and listen to some of those. So let's get into 13, and we're talking about being the humble servant. And he says in 16, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." And he said, when you know these things and to do these things, happy you will be. And isn't it good to know that when we do the things of God and understand who God is and follow his instructions, that we can be happy. Amen. All right. We can be happy. All right. So now, 18, "I speak not of you all, but I know whom I have what? Chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." All right. Prophecy, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Now, he's saying in a nutshell right here, he says, now, I'm telling you this, and I want you to know that after I tell you this, you're going to know because it's going to happen. It looks like it's a play on words, but what he's saying is, I'm telling you, and then after I tell you, you're going to see that what I told you is true. All right? That I am he. And that he there is also being a prophet. Okay? 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. All right? Is that important?
Yes.
How so?
Because it's letting us know that we have to believe God who sent him in order to believe the men he's going to send.
Right.
So it has to start at the top.
Anybody else? Y'all can't put yourself in that. When you get called out of darkness into his marvelous light, then you ought to be believed as well, right?
That's right.
Right?
Right.
Did he say go out into all ye the world and do what?
Preach
the gospel. Go out and minister. Go out and testify. Go out and lay hands on the sick. This ministry that we have is one of action. Mm-hmm. All right? So when we see what Jesus did, and he was what? The example of the Father, right?
Right.
Okay, then, and we ought to go out and do the same. We ought to go out into the what? Highways and byways and hedges and compel them to come in. If they're sick, we're supposed to lay hands on them. If they're hungry, we're supposed to do what?
Feed them.
Right? If they need clothes, we're supposed to give them clothes. If they get locked up, we're supposed to go check after them.
Right.
Right? Now, isn't that the demonstration that Jesus left for us? So if he's the demonstration of the Father's love, grace, compassion, and mercy, then when we go out, we should be what?
The same,
right? You know, he said, hey, you're going to have power when you go out. I got power, you're going to have power.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're going to have authority. Because I'm authorized to send you out. And when you authorized to go out, then that's because the Father has authorized you to go out. Right?
Right.
It's just like the commander-in-chief tells the next in line come to tell you, and then you got the authorization from the head.
Right.
Right? All right. So I just want us to understand that, hey, when you receive him, you receive the Father, and when you go in his name, then the Father anoints you to go. All right? 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit. And I love this next one. He testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Oh, buddy. One shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he speak. That word doubting there, It doesn't mean he was questioning. They were wondering who it was. They weren't doubting whether he told the truth. They were looking like, who is it? You know, because we all supposed to be tight in here, right?
Right.
And he's saying, boy, you done said something about it. Who might it be? All right. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And who was that? John. All right. Now, 24. Simon Peter, therefore, beckoned unto him, said, John, get over here for a minute, that he should ask him of whom that the master has spoke. Because he, you know what? He said, man, if anybody can get it out of him, you can. So go over there and find out who it is. 25. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? So he gets the call, check on to find out who it is. John go back there, go back over there. He said, Lord, who is it? Jesus said, it is he to whom I give sop. That word sop there means morsel or portion of bread. All right. Whom I give sop when I have dipped it. All right. And when he had dipped the morsel or the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, or after the morsel, Satan entered into him. And then Jesus said unto him, thou that doest, do it quickly. Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spoke this unto him. For some of them thought because Judas had what? Had the bag, had the money. Judas was the one that kept the money. Mm-hmm. All right. That Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. So when he told him to go and do what you do quickly, they weren't thinking that he was going to betray him. They said, well, he got the money, so he told him to go ahead. And because see, think about this. John was the only one that heard what he said when he said, who is it? He said, well, it's going to be the one that I give this morsel of bread, because he was right there up under his breath, see. Right. So everybody else was like, oh, okay. They didn't automatically assume that it was him. Only John had that in his ear that time. All right. 30. He then, having received the morsel, went immediately out, and it was what?
Night.
Therefore, when he was going out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Again, this just verifies that God had Jesus on display to show his love. And for all that we want to know about the Father, if we just study Jesus, we have the heart of God. We have it. And so, 33, little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, prophecy, I'm getting ready to leave, and you can't come. All right. Verse 34. I want everybody to fasten your spiritual seatbelts. We're about to go to the next level. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also what? Love one another. 35. By this shall all men know that you are my what?
Disciples.
If you have love one to another. Acid test. Smoking gun. I don't care what you want to apply to it. This is how you can tell whether anybody or you yourself is where you need to be with God, by how much you have love for one another. Now, I want y'all to understand this chapter 13 right here is very, very important, because it's a characteristic that is being displayed to us that we must display and have on display ourselves. All of this time, listen, we've already read this, that the student can't be above the teacher. He's already showed humility in washing his disciples' feet, even though he was who he was. He, in other words, it doesn't matter your position. Your attitude still should be what? One of being humble and one of being a servant. Right? And so when you look at this, he's saying, now, I hope y'all been paying attention, because this is something I'm going to put on you that's new. I want you now to be known by this, what you have just seen. One, the humility, the transparency, and the servanthood part, and that you love one another. That's gonna be the acid test. See, people are gonna have a lot of conversation in life. We know a lot of people who, they really big Christians and they love the Lord and all of that. But the true acid test and demonstration is, are you following the commandment of the Lord? And that commandment is what? That we should love one another. So I want us to think about that. If at any time we should look in the mirror and be talking to God about our Christian walk, if one of the things we can check before we even look in the mirror is if we have love one for another, if we are putting others along ourselves and as what's important. Okay? So I want y'all to think about some ways that it could be demonstrated in your life. I know y'all don't want me to get started, but I wanted to give you all the opportunity. We're so glad to have you. Where we are is at verse 34, where Jesus is saying, the new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So he didn't say, because I'm giving you this commandment, it's going to be automatic. This is something that's going to have to be done on our part. And the basic key to it, again, I have to keep going back, is he's shown you that there's, one, a humility that you must have in order to serve others. You got to have it. If you are not humble, how are you going to serve one another? If you got an attitude and think you're better than somebody else, how is that going to allow you to serve them? It won't. So he's saying it doesn't matter what position you have, whether it's the pastor, whether it's the assistant pastor, whether it's the bishop, whether it be the apostle. Jesus has shown you must first be willing to serve and wash these people's feet and be concerned about them, all of them, right, as well as yourself. And if you don't have that, then who are you serving? Then who are you establishing as being important? Well, of course we know we got this relationship between God and us, right? That's looking at it this way. But what happens this way? This is others this way. This is those in our family, those who are not in our family, those who are Christians, those who are not. This is everybody that we got to deal with and interact with is this way, because we and God are doing this. It's coming down. All good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights. We communicating with God. But then that we communicate, then where is the demonstration? The demonstration is this way. If God gives us a word, who is the word for? Is the word for God, or is the word for this way? I want y'all to think about it. When God gives us in our spirit man something to pray for. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when I pray, I already have something specific that I want to pray for. But then I have to pray in the spirit, because I know that I don't know everything that I should be praying for, and I need some help. Right? So I give time and space for God to give me things to pray for. And so the words that I get that are coming this way, I know he gives me words that are to go this way. So I want us to think about, in our prayer time, what is it that God would have us to give others? And that's the time that he's going to give it to us. When we pray, he said, when you seek me early while I might be found, so that I can start you off right and then have you already ready in an attitude to receive. Now, I know And I'm just doing a lot of this for myself, but I hope you all think about these things as well. being a leader, I have to consider others. I want to pray for others. All of the people that I come in contact with, I want them to have what God has given me to give to them. I don't ever want to be too bogged down or clogged up with things that will hinder me from receiving from God exactly what he has for somebody else. Because if I meet somebody on the street during the day, do I really meet them by accident?
No.
Think about it. Your day, God already knows about it because he already knows the beginning from the end, right? Mm-hmm. But we're the only ones that don't know, right? So when we talk to him, he prepares us, if we allow him, for the day. And we seek him first. And who's our example? Jesus. He always went early, sought information from the Father about what he wanted to do. You don't see any time he did not pray or did not seek God's face about what he was supposed to do. And that's our example. So now, when I look at this, and I want y'all to talk about this. When I look at this and it says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. A disciple is one that's disciplined, right?
Right.
The root word of disciple is discipline, mm-hmm. right? So if you're disciplined and you're following instructions from your leader, then the evidence is you should have what your instructor has, which is love one for another. Now, let me back it up a little bit. When the disciples went places and spoke, what did the people say about them? They said, where you been? Where y'all been? We know that y'all just ignorant fishermen, but y'all speaking and talking about things that are, you've been with somebody. And of course, that was a lead-in for them to say who they had been with, right? Is that our conversation? Is that our testimony? Can we go somewhere and people can look and say, there's something different about you? There's a calm. There's a peace. You're not the way you used to look. You don't act like you used to act. Well, that's what they should say, right? That would. I see everybody saying, yeah, that's what they should say. But is preparation time wasted time?
No.
I don't think so. And so that's why I've always, in these Bible studies and every time I talk, I always say your prayer life will dictate and demonstrate your actions. If you spend a lot of time in prayer, you'll be a lot calmer. It'll be easier for you to deal with things, and you'll have that right now word that people need, because you will be sensitive to the Spirit, and God can move you where he wants you to be. All right? Now, I don't want to get stuck here, but I want us to think about this. Can people say that we are his disciples by our actions?
Should be able to say.
Should. And I want us to think about this now. You're not in this Bible study by accident. I'm not here by accident. This is where we are, not by accident. But just think about it. If we're going to be judged by every idle word that come out of our mouth, are we in the last day going to be judged by what we've heard and what we received? Isn't it incumbent upon us to digest this? Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Portia. I see Portia winding up. What you got?
No. Because of my words.
That's your words.
Well, I'm just looking at the scripture we just read, and I just feel that, you know, as soon as we leave out of here, we're going to be tested on this.
Absolutely.
You know, somebody's going to rub us the wrong way.
Did I make me mad?
Watching the door of my mouth and people watch over my lips.
And if you hold your tongue and still think it, it's just
you gotta be multi multitask with your mind and your mouth. You know?
Well, again, this is all
filtered.
But this is all for us to. For us to have an understanding of our responsibility as being a disciple, mm-hmm. right? And as we understand now who John is portraying to us as being the Father's representative, then these are the things that we should start to strive toward. In this life, we're gonna have some tribulations, trials, and tests, and for sure. There's going to be some times when we not going to be able to catch some of them words that come out of our mouth. But the good part about it is we cannot let a whole lot more that could come out.
Right.
All right. And you know, sometimes you can say a little and that's just about all you need to say. You know, sometimes you can catch yourself before you say a lot. And then sometimes all you need to just say is just a little, you know, when he says be angry but sin not, it doesn't mean that you won't swell up sometime. It's just how much do you spew out of that. At some point we should be able to be able to corral in some things and then allow the heated situation not to be as hot as it could. You know? Because people said things, sometimes you can just say, you know, I don't think that was right what you said. Then sometimes you feel like you want to say, hey, not only is that not right what you said, but, and then you start adding four or five more things onto it, you know. But again, that becomes the sensitivity. So if we keep in mind in 13 that he's talking about being humble and being a servant and being transparent, then we're going to start to display these things of being a disciple and understanding that commandment that he has given us, that we love one another. Now, I said all that to get to the punchline. Do you realize what he said? And I'm going to be very specific here. He said, a new commandment I give you. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a suggestion.
It was a command.
Mm-hmm. Which means that's a directive. Listen to me when I said it's a directive that we had not understood before. Right? So he's saying, listen, I'm giving you a new commandment. This is a path now that I want you to follow. It doesn't matter how you've been thinking. It doesn't matter how you've been philosophizing. It doesn't matter what your grandmama said. It doesn't matter what great grandma said and all of that. He said, this is one I'm giving you. And so now, guess what? It's new to a whole lot of people that have not read John 13. When I got saved, they didn't read John 13 to me. I don't know about you. So as we grow and mature in Christ and study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, this is where we arrive to today on the 1st of November. That we have a commandment that we love one another. Is that an easy task?
No.
Might I ask that question?
There are some people not in this real flesh. Hard to love. What you do, man?
Well, you got to love just like the Father loves all. Mm-hmm. Now, can I give you some wisdom? There's some people you love at a distance, and then there's some that you can love up close. Can I help you out here? There is mm-hmm. some wisdom in that. Mm-hmm. There's some wisdom. Now, I have some people that I've been knowing for a long time. I love them with the love of the Lord, but they not coming to my house. I'm not spending a whole lot of time with them, and they not getting a dime of money unless God tell me to give it to them.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. I'm just saying to you, you can love them at a distance, and then your love through demonstration can be praying for them. And sometimes we love people, and God tells us to say things to them that we know they ain't going to like. And so we have to do that as well. Just because you love somebody don't mean that you let them get away with murder as well. That you just let them just keep doing stuff over and over and over again. Even if they ain't using you, they using somebody else. And God says, it's time out. Then you have to say, brother, sister, whoever it is, I love you enough to tell you what you're doing is wrong. You need to repent and trust God. Let's pray about this thing. And if they don't want to pray, that's fine. You did your part. But love is tender and love is tough, right?
Right.
So if you love one another, you got to look at it from the whole standpoint of loving them. And when you love with the love of the Lord, like he said, you got to love, then they may not be so lovable. But can I help all of us, even though they're listening? Sometimes you can love people right. You can love them and through your loving, heap them hot coals on their head. And they say, you know what? I need to just stop what I'm doing. Because that ain't right. These people still been believing and working with me and praying for me. Sometimes that's what destroys the yoke of bondage. When they see the demonstration of the God kind of love. When they know that you should punch them in the eye, but you don't. And you say, you know what? I'm going to pray for you over this matter. And they said, man, I can't believe it. I thought you was going to hit me. So I just wanted to touch y'all with that one because it's when it said they will know, that word know means there will be an understanding at some point. They're going to come to realize what? That you are one of his disciples when you have love for one another. And again, that's the acid test, the smoking gun, to see whether other people who have all of these claims that they all holy and they got this great revelation and they all this and that, if they don't have humility and if they don't demonstrate love for one another, you don't have to judge them. The word has already judged them. Because there it is right there. 36. Now, I don't have a watch on, so I have no idea what time it is. So, last time I went over, y'all didn't care, but I do try to be timely.
I think it's 12:40.
Okay, well, we're in good time, because I'm at the end, and we're going to have some more discussion on this. Because y'all know 14 gets real deep. And I love and have preached it many, many times, 14. So, all right. 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, where you going? And Jesus answered, where I go, you can't follow me. But thou what? Shall follow me afterwards. Huh? He said, you can't go right now, but you can come later. I love that part. Are we not waiting to go?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can't I follow you? I will lay down my life for your sake. How many of us have said, Lord, I promise. Lord, if you just do this. Lord, if you just get me out of this one, I ain't going to do it no more. Don't eyeball me like that, Portia.
Well, you know, I hope that, you know, for me, that was before I came under conviction. What sin really was. Them days, you know, that's trouble right there. I had to learn that the hard way.
Oh, yeah. but he really felt like what he was saying was good. But sometimes the strength of what you said just ain't going to quite hold up, as we shall see. And 38, Jesus said, "Will thou lay down thy life for my sake?" Mm-hmm. And was that not a good question? Because it says, "Scarcely will you find one man that'll lay down his life for another one." Right? Because a lot of people talking about, "I'll die for you," but boy, when the gun get pulled, they can be the first one crying and falling on the floor.
Gone.
Gone. All right. Will thou lay down life? And Jesus didn't even let him answer the question. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow. What? Till thou hast denied me three times. Wow. All right. I'm through with 13.
Glad he forgives.
Yes. And listen, in plenteous in mercy. I'm just saying plenteous. Plenteous in mercy. There's a lot of grace and mercy to go around. And I don't want to try to wear out all mine. I don't know how deep the bucket is, but I don't have my foot and leg in there. You know, y'all all holy and everything, but I have to constantly be asking questions.
In this chapter, you know, back then men, what would you say, men, they real men. And it, when I read that he laid his head on Jesus' bread, I'm going like, wow. And none of the men thought it was,
Then you have to realize in those days, it wasn't like they had big sofa chairs and lounges and all of that. You know, and they didn't have air conditioning nor central heat, right? So a lot of times it just depended on what the season was. A lot of them were huddled up, and I know this just from people in the world. When you have a leader, everybody don't sit with them. They just don't. If you got a boss on the job, workers over here, supervisors over here.
Lonely at the top.
It's lonely at the top. But John said, hey, I'm going over here. I'm getting with him. And so he just got him a spot, you know. And Jesus had always demonstrated that he was not untouchable, right?
Right.
He always wanted to let the kids come. All the time they jumped out and said, hey, all these people around. He said, man, let them people come. Let them people come. When he got his feet washed with the tears, everybody was like, hey, don't be bothering the master. He said, she's doing a greater work than y'all doing. Right?
Right.
Y'all didn't offer to wash my feet when I came in. I'm in the house and you know, here's somebody come and you know, offer me something. So I just, you know, a lot of times we have ideas and things in our head and we look at things one way. But I look at it from the standpoint that after all of that they had saw him do and all of the compassion and everything that he showed, you know, here was one that said, boy, I'm getting as close as I can get. I'm going to be right there. I'm going to be right there. And that's good. We should all want to be right there.
I have a question. In verse 37, when it says, Lord, why can't I not follow you now?
Mm-hmm.
That one, but I just the one before about laying your life down.
Right.
Does that mean also laying your lifestyle down? You know, the lifestyle that you live, or does that just mean that when he lays his life down that for him, that you're willing to go, you know, I guess a lot of them do, the martyrs that, you know, be killed for Christ's name's sake and stuff like that in the other countries.
Uh-huh.
And does that mean that you lay your lifestyle down too to follow him? Mm-hmm. I guess that means like you repent, and when you have a change of heart, you laying down that particular lifestyle of sin. Could that be in any kind of way
well,
in that scripture? Is that a metaphor?
Well, he was talking in the aspect of he had an assignment and nothing was going to happen to him unless he allowed it at any time that the Father had given him. Okay. See, think about it. Every time he healed somebody and did something all the way through John up until this point, they got mad about it and then they went to pick up the rocks to stone him.
Right.
He told them once before, y'all can't kill me. Y'all want to do it, but you can't. I got control of this, and until it's time, that's the only time it's going to be done. Because he tore down every idol that they had put up. And so he was verifying the fact here that I'm the only one that can lay it down and then I'm the only one that can pick it back up. Okay, so that was really what he was saying. Now, it's not wrong for you to say or have in your mind that okay, I'm going to need to lay mine down, but the other part of it, you don't want to pick that back up. Okay, it says lay aside every sin and weight that does so easily beset you. When you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You don't want to go back and pick up anything that you bring to God and lay it down. All right, so if you do lay something down or you say, well, I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that, you do that because you don't want anything that you had been doing or that you are doing to hinder your walk with God. Okay, let me give you an illustration. If a person decides that they want to be a bodybuilder, all right, they're not going to be able to eat bonbons. They can't have any more ice cream at 11 o'clock at night with cookies. You know, they get on a certain regimen. They want to eat certain things, and then they got to get a certain amount of rest, and then they get into this regimen, and they get disciplined because that's what they want to do. So now that they're doing that, they lay aside all of the and put down that old lifestyle because now they got something else to do, and they can't have both lifestyles going because you're not going to be able to get the desired result. So I'm saying you can put that in and say, I want to lay these things down, but the reason that you're laying them down is not as the sacrifice that he was doing to give up his life for all. You see what I mean? You can use that to say, I'm gonna complete the will of God and not be hindered, and I'm gonna lay this stuff aside. You can say that. But that wasn't necessarily what he was saying. There's a lot of stuff in here that he says that we can take that and apply it to things that we're doing, and it works. But you have to understand the foundational principle was that he had a job and it was not gonna be interrupted by man. Right? They weren't going to kill him before time. He had a time when he was going to lay his life down. Now just think, they arrested him. They did all of this stuff. And until he said it is finished, it wasn't finished. Right?
That's right.
Now, even in real life terms, he should have been dead. He should have been dead. If you take the cat of nine tails, which had bone and rock and stuff on this thing, and he got beat with that thing, he didn't have a whole lot of flesh left on his back. He should have bled to death just from that. All right? You get crowned with thorns. They sticking in your head. Now, you're already bleeding out the back. Now, you're bleeding out. Force is saying, ooh. But think how bad they did him.
Yes.
And look, if he had some blood left, then they nailed him on the cross. So now they done nailed his hands and done nailed his feet, and here's some more blood to come out. Right? So even in this gory part that I just went through. Yeah, so I'm just saying blood and water came out. I'm just saying until he decided that it was finished, it was not finished. It should have in the natural been finished, but he said, I got the power. Did he not? To lay it down and to pick it back up.
Maybe when he said, pick up my cross and follow me, that's when we lay our stuff aside.
Now, I didn't get to that part, but y'all do know about that cross, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And why do we lay it down like that? Because he took all of our sin on the cross. So we got to, all that is hassling, we need to take that off and put that on the cross. Because that's where it's supposed to be. That's why we should not let, and I'm being fair, we should not let sin reign in our mortal body. We should be able to, as we grow closer to God, to be able to tell our bodies no. We should. Now, we get weak, but that's not to say that 90% of the time we can't be strong. And I'm not saying that once you get saved and you get full of Holy Ghost and power, all of a sudden you Johnny Atlas and all these new people who all bucked up and all of that, all well and good. But the lights cut off at the show, don't it? Did y'all like that? The lights go off, and then the arms go down, and then they change clothes, and then they walk out, and then, you know, then people just see them. They say, boy, you look like you cut pretty good, but they don't see what happened when the light come on, and he all oiled up. Then it's all together something different. So I just want us to understand there's a light, and the light, when the light go off, we got to still try to be strong, right?
That's right.
The Bible don't explain why he chose Judas to be the treasure, knowing he was a thief.
Well, I want y'all to have your spiritual ears open, man. when I tell you this, if you read back up here, he said, all of these that are with me, I have chosen. Where is that? Did I back it up? Servant is no good. 18. I speak not of all of you all. I know whom I have chosen. What is it? What's after chosen? What's that little word?
But.
All right. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eat the bread with me have lifted up his heel against me.
Okay.
So, in order for the scriptures to be fulfilled, somebody got to do it.
And
that's why I want to put the spiritual ears on there now. Because you got to, in God's plan and in God's overall scheme of things, we don't know how God works, and neither can we understand or have a philosophy about it. Now, you could say, God, why did you let him do it? Then who was going to do it?
Yeah.
I mean, in order for the sacrifice to be complete, there had to be somebody to trade him in.
And God being all-knowing, knowed each one of them personality and their inner thoughts and being. And so he knew Judas. You know, that's how I look at it. I feel he looked at Judas's personality, you know, and knew he was going to be the designated one.
All right, and I'm going to throw some stuff out here. I want y'all to go at it now. Does God not have hope that all of us are going to do right?
Yeah.
Huh? The question is,
but we're not robots.
Okay, so are all of us going to do right? And so what has God given us as an answer to that? 1 John 1:9. If we shall confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now I'm going to add another one in there. As long as we're in this flesh body, we got a problem. Because the sin is where? It's in the flesh. If your spirit is born again, the sin ain't in your spirit. The sin is in your flesh. So that's what you argue with. Your mind brings back to your remembrance good and bad. Not y'all. I'm just saying sometimes I stuff that come up and I be like, what in the world? Where'd that come from?
Right.
You know, but subconsciously we have never ever forgotten anything. The more we get saved, the farther that stuff gets, and the rougher it is for it to get through the defense mechanisms that we got. It ain't gone.
Mm-mm.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It ain't gone. I see some of my old friends, and I think about when we were racing cars and doing that. That stuff ain't gone nowhere. No, I mean, it's just not gone. The closer we get to God, the farther we get away from it. All right. So hopefully that answers the question. That's why I myself am so thankful that God called me out of darkness and marvelous light. I would not have wanted to be Judas.
Who knows?
No, I'm just thinking. But I'm just saying we don't ask to come here. We don't ask to be who we are. God decides who we are, gives us a name, gives us talents, abilities, and gifts, and then we have the opportunity to say yes or no and go on out here and all of that. But I'm just telling you, I'm just thankful. Because I could still be lost. I mean, I could still, you know, be wild and crazy, but God said, no, son, I got a plan for you. And think of how many out there still lost. Think of how many people still doing stuff they know they ain't got no business doing. But here we are, we've been chosen. So I'm very thankful. I am. I'm very thankful and very humble and I'm very appreciative that I can have a right to the tree of life. And I just want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's all. Look, seriously, I'm striving for that thing, man. And then, just to give y'all one added bit before I hang this thing up. I want to see God move. Mm-hmm. I like seeing people get saved. I like seeing people's life be one way, and then after they hear a message or or they get a word and they whole expression change and they say, man, you don't know what that meant to me. I've had a burden lifted. This thing been weighing on me, and you pray with folk, man, and they, or you lay hands on them, and then they whole expression change. That is priceless. It is. So, all right. Anybody else got anything?
Deal with that love.
She said we got to deal with that love. Well, you know what? To whom much is given, much is required. And you said a mouthful when you said, now, sooner we leave out here, we're going to be tested. But we can pass the test.
Yes, we can.
Now you know the answer, right?
Yes.
When they come up to you and start talking to you, you can say, I know you're just a test. I know you just trying to see whether I'm a disciple or not. I'm going to pass this one. You're not going
to
get me today.
Yeah,
you're not going to get me today. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this fellowship. Lord, we just thank you for all of those that have come and just enjoy it, those that are listening as well. Lord, let your word not return void. Accomplish that which you please and prosper into us with good ground. And cap your angels round about and take us to our next destination. And we'll be careful to give you alone all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen.
Amen.